Well, hello. Dennis Prager here in my home for the weekly Fireside Chat. It is great to be with you. I hope you feel the same. I guess most of you do, otherwise you wouldn't be with me. So that was somewhat of a rhetorical comment. Anyway, I always open up with some thoughts on either some personal issues or some political, social, religious, and then I take your questions. Thank you for being with me again. This is a totally non-scripted, totally spontaneous, from my home to you, in a way that enables me to come across to you as about as real as possible. I mean, I'm pretty real on radio and in speeches, but this is like even realer than real. No, it's realer than the others. Okay, so much for that. So I can't obviously avoid the dominant subject right now, which is the president and the massive amount of attacks against him for treason and being against America and being in the pocket of Vladimir Putin. And I can only tell you that we are living through the most orchestrated hysteria of my life. And I have listed in my book, Still the Best Hope, which is about Americanism, Islamism, and leftism. And I listed in there on the chapters on the left, I listed 11 hysterias. And there have been about another 11 since I wrote the book, which is only a few years ago. We're in a constant state of hysteria. Constant. It doesn't stop. And it's all a lie. And we're suffering for it. It's made up stuff. Let me give you an example of one that just happened since Donald Trump was elected, saying that he has created a massive amount of increase in anti-Semitism. Well, I know something about anti-Semitism, having written a book about the subject, having taught Jewish history at Brooklyn College, and having fought it my whole life. I knew from the beginning it was a lie. It was just a gigantic lie, but it dominated. It dominated the media just like this Helsinki is dominating the media now. That dominated the media for months, maybe half a year, because there were a lot of calls to Jewish community centers that were terrible. They were bomb threats and other threats. And it turned out that 90% of those calls came from a mentally disturbed American Jewish teenager living in Israel. The other 10% came from a left-wing black guy in America who wanted to get his ex-girlfriend in trouble. He wanted to somehow frame her. That's it. So the whole thing was a lie. I went on CNN and I said it was all a lie, and they didn't appreciate my saying that, but it was. And they're doing everything possible to undo the last election. That is all this is about. This is not about Putin. This is not about Russia. This is not about Trump taking America's interest first. It is all about delegitimizing his election. I've never seen anything like it. The truth is, there has never been anything like this in American history. That's the truth. That's what's happening. And it's a disgrace, and I don't want you to fall in for it. Here's a fact, okay? Here are some facts. President Trump has been so much harder on Russia than his predecessor, Barack Obama, that if one cared even this bit, a teeny-eensy-beensy bit about truth, this would not be an issue. But these people don't care about truth. The media don't care. The Democratic Party doesn't care. They care about delegitimizing this election. That's what it's been about. This man, Donald Trump, this man sent not only arms to Ukraine with which to fight whom? Uruguay? No, Russia. Barack Obama sent food. That's what he sent. He sent army meals. That's what he sent. Donald Trump sent anti-tank weapons to the Ukrainians. Donald Trump got out of the treaty with Russia's ally, Iran. Donald Trump told Germany, don't rely, just before Helsinki, don't rely on Russian energy, their natural gas line from Russia. It's not a good thing. Donald Trump has been consistently, so much so, he bombed, American forces bombed in Syria, and Russians were killed. This is just a few months ago. And these people on the left have the audacity to charge Donald Trump with not being preoccupied with America's interests, but with Putin's, to the extent that Time magazine this week has on its cover Donald Trump and Putin's faces morphing into one face. This is all a lie, a gigantic lie. By the way, Time is really Time's commitment to truth is truly close to zero. It had a cover just a couple of weeks ago of Donald Trump, gigantic Donald Trump with a little Hispanic kid, the Hispanic girl crying, but it came out very shortly thereafter that the picture of that girl was actually about 2 feet from her mother. She was not separated from her parents. The cover is a fraud. But it doesn't matter, because who's going to call out Time? Newsweek? The New York Times? The LA Times? The Washington Post? CNN? NBC? NPR? PBS? ABC? CBS? Who's gonna call them out on it? They all follow the same pattern. Delegitimize this presidency. Delegitimize the last election. Because they're so angry that Hillary Clinton lost and a Republican won, and especially the Republican that they particularly hate. But they hated all the Republicans. Many of you may not remember, many of you undoubtedly do, they hated George W. Bush. They hated him. Bush lied, people died. Right? And he's an idiot. And they hated everyone. They hated Reagan. Oh, by the way, this is the irony of ironies. The Democratic Party and the left, they're accusing an American president of not being hard enough on the Russians. When Ronald Reagan said that the Russians were an evil empire, he was attacked vociferously by the entire left, New York to LA Times, and all the networks in the Democratic Party. How dare a president of the United States call the Soviet Union, and that, and believe me, the Soviet Union was worse than Russia. Okay, even though it was led by Russia, it was a far greater danger than Putin's Russia. I'm not a Putin fan, but I am a big truth fan. And the truth is, there's no comparison between Putin's Russia and the Soviet Union. I've been to both and I speak Russian. Let me tell you, there's a lot more freedom. It's not a fully free country, but it's incomparably better than it was under the Soviet Union. And the same with the threat to America and to the world. All of a sudden, the left are the big hawks? Oh my God, give me a break. It's forgive me, nauseating. The whole thing is hysteria. Just don't get caught up in it. Donald Trump loves the United States. With all his flaws, it's the one thing I am certain of. He truly loves America. He would never sell this country out to any country. It wouldn't even occur to him. Let me light up here and relight, I should say. It was already lit up. Okay, so there's another thing about this hysteria that is truly, it's evil. The left has cheapened every evil, everyone. The calling of the supporters of Donald Trump Nazis and calling him a Nazi, all that has done is cheapen the Nazi evil. If Trump and I are Nazis, after all, I support him. I voted for him. If I, a Jew who's devoted a good part of my life to protecting Jews, if I'm a Nazi, then the Nazis aren't bad, are they? Think about it. They've done this to everything. You name the evil, and the left has cheapened it by calling everyone they differ with a racist. If you, according to the University of California, if you say there, I believe there is only one race, the human race, you are called a racist for that comment. If you think black dormitories is segregation and you're against segregation because you're a liberal, you're a racist. Okay? So all they did is cheapen racism. Racism is really evil. The left has cheapened it. The left has cheapened every bad thing. Sexual attack, sexual assault. Man touches a woman's hand unwelcome. It's called a sexual assault. Okay. I'm not for unwelcome touching of hands. But a sexual assault and even cheapening of the word rape, a rape culture on campus. You know how I know that's a lie, that they don't even believe it? They send their daughters to college. Would you send your daughter to a place with a rape culture? Bet you wouldn't. They don't believe their lies. But they tell them. We are swimming in the ocean of the left's lies. Not liberals. Liberals and leftists are not the same. Liberals don't know this, but they're not. There are some liberals who do, like professor at Harvard Law, Professor Alan Dershowitz. He knows that the biggest problem for liberalism is not the right, it's the left. He said so. He said it to me. It's on camera in his apartment in New York City. So the latest is on MSNBC, a woman said, one of their reporters, that, what'd she say? Oh, yes, and she was not alone. A lot of people have said, this was the equivalent, what happened in Helsinki was the equivalent of Pearl Harbor, the equivalent of 9/11, the equivalent of Kristallnacht. You know what Kristallnacht was? The night the Nazis started the Holocaust in Germany, when they beat Jews in the streets, burned down synagogues, and destroyed Jewish shops. 9/11? This is the equivalent of 9/11? What the Russians did? And what happened in Helsinki? It's the equivalent of 9/11? Does not every single person who lost a loved one on 9/11 find that repulsive? Their husband, their brother, their friend, their son, jumped out of an 80-floor window lest he be incinerated? And they're comparing this? 3,000 Americans slaughtered? But it works. It works because if all you listen to is the mainstream media, then you start thinking, whoa, this is as bad as Pearl Harbor. Tell that to the... Well, they're not here anymore. Maybe a couple of survivors. I know what happened at Pearl Harbor. I wasn't alive, but I know what happened. It's not Pearl Harbor. So this is a very, very depressing time in American life because of the incendiary attempt to undo the election of an American president. That's all it's about. That's what I wanted you to know. It's an unprecedented time in American history. Okay, time for me to take your questions. All righty, here we go. Christy from Romania. I was just in Romania, by the way. I had a great time. I lectured in Cluj and in Bucharest. And it was a tremendously moving experience. I'm a 23-year-old Romanian psychology student in the UK. What advice do you have for people who disagree with the establishment's political indoctrination? Give them as many PragerU videos as possible. I'm not kidding. They're free, so there's no money involved here. I just that's why we created Prager University, in order to undo this indoctrination. It's not the only thing you can do, but it's a big one. Send them articles, show them other ways of understanding life that are far more accurate, and make them aware in a very nice way that there really is an indoctrination taking place. Good luck. Okay. Zach, 32 in Portland. Do you hunt or fish? Why? Well, I don't. They're separate. I consider them separate. I don't. I'll begin with the less dramatic one. I don't fish only because I find it boring. But that doesn't mean it's boring. It's just I find it boring. There are people who love it. It is the most relaxing thing in the world to them. It's fine with me. I don't have any issue with fishing. Hunting is a more difficult issue. And let me make clear. I know people who hunt. They are people of impeccable character. They're kind. They care about animals. They care about people. But I couldn't hunt. There's nothing that appeals to me about a sport that kills animals. I don't say this condemning people who do it, because as I said, some of the finest people, or some very fine people that I know, do love hunting. And they usually eat the animal, and they understand all of these issues. But the culture that they grew up in, unlike the culture that I grew up in and in my religion, in Judaism, it's forbidden. So that's another reason. But even if it weren't, I don't relate to it. But hey, the reason that I can't sit here and act holier than thou with regard to hunters is that I eat meat. And I suspect that it might be easier for an animal to be shot and just die in the wild than it is to be raised on a place where they're just raised to be slaughtered. So I'm no holier than thou. I'm just telling you what I can do or can't do. One other thing, though, that is worth noting. I should even do a PragerU course on this. Here's the interesting thing between treatment of animals and treatment of people. People who are cruel to animals almost always will end up cruel to people. It's almost a given. But, people who are kind to animals, that has no relationship to how they treat people. None. So that's what everybody knows. Part one, cruel to animals equals cruel to people, or leads to cruel to people. But they don't think about the other one. Here is the irony, and I only use the term when it is absolutely applicable. The Nazis were very pro-animal. They would not even use animals for medical experiments, but they did use people for medical experiments. Hideous, torturous medical experiments without any anesthesia. There is no relationship between kindness to animals and kindness to people. But there is relationship between cruelty to animals and cruelty to people. Okay? 21 in Vietnam. I do believe in God. Should I still go to church every week or just stay home and read the Bible? My general belief is that it is a good thing to be part of a good religion. Not all religions are good, and not all religion, even in good religions, is good. Religion's a mixed bag, and I am involved in my religion, but religion's a mixed bag. There's good religion, and there is not so good, and there's even bad religion. So if you have a religion that makes people kinder and finer and more moral and so on, then it's a good thing to be part of it. It's a good thing to have a community. And even if you're not into services, it's still worth going. So we need people and we need communities, and it's good to build communities. Why not have a church service that just studies Bible? If you're not into prayer, I'm not much into prayer. I admit it. I'm not proud of it. I'm just not. But I go to synagogue every week, and I teach there. So I love the teaching part. I'm a big Bible fan. By the way, Ho, since you know English, I really hope you'll get the Rational Bible, the first of my 5-volume commentary on the first 5 volumes of the Bible. It's called the Rational Bible. And for any of you who are atheist or any religion, I read the reviews on Amazon and you'll see how people are affected by it. I won't say more. It's called the Rational Bible. But yes, studying Bible with others is a very powerful thing. Alistair in Belfast, Northern Ireland. What is your favorite book in the Old Testament and why? I think it's Exodus. That's why I began with Exodus. Because it has the Ten Commandments and it has so many great laws in it. And it's so profound. And it's about the biggest issues of life. So I would say Exodus. Because, the Ten Commandments. I explain the Ten Commandments at great length in my Rational Bible. I think all told it's about 18,000 words. And I write concisely. But that's big. If everybody lived by the Ten Commandments, you wouldn't have to lock your doors. It's an amazing thing to think how beautiful the world would be. Mike, 42, Florida. Do you enjoy any sports? Well, I played racquetball and tennis a great deal in terms of playing. In terms of following, I like 2 sports in particular. Hockey is number 1, and baseball is number 2. And I admit, though a lot of Americans will find this puzzling, I do watch the World Cup every 4 years. I'm riveted by it, in fact. I don't understand people who knock soccer. I don't know what there is to knock. It's incredibly skilled. I love team play much more than solo play. That's why I like hockey. This is sort of like hockey on grass. I have complaints about soccer. My biggest single complaint is the penalty shot. I don't believe that games should be decided by a penalty shot. They should do what they do in hockey. If a guy, let's say, touches a ball with his arm or his hand, which is not allowed in soccer, don't give the other team a penalty shot, which is at least a 50% chance that they'll get a goal. And most soccer games are decided by 1 goal. Take off a player for 2 minutes, like they do in hockey. Let the other team have a man advantage for 2 minutes. Anyway, it's my suggestion. Okay, finally, Jessica, 59, Arizona. How can vegans be pro-choice? There are 2 separate issues here. There's, on my video on PragerU on abortion, I make clear that my video is not at all about the legality, that's the choice issue, the legality of abortion. It's about the morality of abortion. So I think what you're really asking is, how can a vegan be morally supportive of abortion? And we're not talking about where the health of the mother is at stake or even rape or incest. We could put that aside. Agreed. I agree. I think your question is very fair. I asked that to the head on my radio show years ago. I had Ingrid Newkirk, the head of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who said that the human being is no more valuable than a chicken, or for that matter, even a cockroach. So I then said, well, if that's the case, then you must be anti-abortion. If human beings, if a cockroach has an infinite right to life, if a chicken does, then surely a human fetus does. And then she said, I take no position on the issue. Of course she takes no position on the issue. She'll lose half of her funding, if not more. But it's unbelievable. How could you say, in effect, what she is saying is chickens are more valuable, cockroaches are more valuable than a human fetus, which is bizarre. But we live in a bizarre time. That's, unfortunately, what I think pure reason and logic would suggest. Okay, everybody. Thank you. Watch our PragerU videos and send in questions. And I'll see you next week. I'm Dennis Prager. Thanks for being with me.